And we're holding on Peihei Omid Bey's three lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the question if the Lokeach brings his keli into the Rishus of the Moicher and puts it down over there. He wasn't specifically given permission to put it down. Can he be kohen with that keli over there? It's his keli, but on the other hand, it's the other guy's Rishus. So the question was whether that works. And we tried to bring a couple of proofs, and we didn't have a proof so far. We tried to bring from the case of a get. And we said that there actually you have a bunch of details over there where it applies only in certain limited cases that it would work. None of which apply in the general circumstance. And we said that the Braisa that we learned yesterday that had the four different the Arba Midas when it comes to buyers and sellers, we said that actually it can mean in the Moichers Rishus, you have the Moichers Keli, and in the Lekeach's Rishus, you have the Lekeach's Keli. So still no proof. So the Gemara says, again, three lines from the bottom of Pehei Yom Adeis, Toshma, Moshach Chamorov Poyalov. If a person pulled his donkey drivers or his workers, V'ichnisan L'seich Beisa, and he brought them into his house. So in other words, so we're not talking when we say moshach over here, we don't mean he pulled them as that he did meshicha. Rashbam points out that the workers themselves, obviously, there's no meshicha of the goods, and even with the donkeys, the goods themselves are still on the backs of the donkeys, and therefore there hasn't been meshicha of them. So we just mean that he brought them into his house. So he pulled them and told them to come in, and he brought them into his house. So whether they decided on a price, posak would be to decide on a price per unit or whatever, ad shalei modad, before they actually measure the amount. Bein modded actually posak, or whether the other way around they measured and then they decided the price. Either way, shnein yicholim lachse behen. Either side is able to change their mind and back out of the deal because there hasn't been any kinyan yet. So we're and the Rashbam adds with modad he actually put it down in his rishus. The assumption of modad is that we measured it out and now it's on the ground or in a keli. We'll see that in the Gemara soon. In his rishus, and then but on the other hand, they didn't do posak yet. Because at that point, his Rishus and his Keli is not able to be Koine yet. In fact, even Meshicha wouldn't work at that point because you don't know. What if the guy wants to charge you an inflated price, a much higher price than you would expect to pay, and then you're going to back out of the deal? So in fact, the Rashbam adds that in the Mishnah, we said that it works when there was Meshicha before the measuring. That's talking about where at least there was Posak beforehand, at least there was that he that they decided on a price. Anyway, that's a little according to Rashbam. The Tosfos, first of all, has a different girsa, not chamorov upayalov, his workers and his donkey drivers, but rather chamorin upayalin, that we mean just generically donkey drivers and workers that they're not particularly his, because Tosfos disagrees with the Rashbam and says if they were his, then he would be kohen on those grounds. And as far as the posak or modad, again, actually Tosfos says even if it was both, even if you did posak and you did modad, then they would both be able to change their mind because they're still on the animals. So Rashbam is understanding that modad necessarily means placing them in the rishus of the lekeach, and Tosfos says not necessarily. Anyway. So far, Shnei Nicholas and Laksa, both of them are allowed to change their mind. But Pirkan v'ichnisan l'seif beisai, once he unloaded them and brought them into his house, so then posak, then it depends what has been accomplished yet. Posak ad shalei modad, if they decided on the price before measuring, ein shnein yicholim lachse behen, then neither one is allowed to change his mind, because at that point they're in his house and they already decided on a price. So therefore he's koneh by kinyan chotzer. Modad ad shalei posak, but if he measures it out before, but if he measures it out before they decided on a price, then again, because they didn't decide on a price and he doesn't know what they're what the guy is going to want, shnei nicholim lachsavahen, then both of them are allowed to retract from it. So the Rashbam first brings that in the case of Pirkan v'Chmisan, then yes, just to bring them in themselves, you don't have over there you don't have over there the posak, but at least it helps that after posak, then the fact that they brought him into his reshus beforehand, then that will allow him to be kona at that point, even though they didn't do modad, even though they didn't measure the actual amount yet. So even before they measure, then once you have the combined factors that you have posak and you have that it's in his reshus, that's good enough for him to be kona. Now, the Rashbam adds, the point is, we see on the face of it, it's still in the kelim of the moicher at this point. We're assuming it's sacks of grain or whatever, and therefore they're still in the sacks that belong to the moicher. So that would go to show. So that would go to show that the kelim of the kelim of the moicher don't prevent the kinyan from taking place. So that's all, and then Rashbam continues, and on the other hand, then when the fact again, the fact that they didn't measure that we have already in the Mishnah, Moshech le'modad kana, once they already have it's in his reshus, and they decided on an amount per unit, then therefore then that's fine. Now the Rashbam then brings that there was some want to explain that so far again to recap the Rashbam is understanding that as long as there was posak and as long as there was posak but it's not in his reshus then it doesn't help and there's no kinyan yet. When you have when it's brought into his house and then so at that point it's also not a kinyan yet, but when it's brought into his house and placed on his reshus and there was posak, then already there will be a kinyan. Now then the Rashbam brings that some want to explain that we're talking about that the ichnis on the sech beisoy is meshicha. And then he would say that then we would say that the Meshicha helps after, so we'd have to understand that first they agreed on a price, then he brought it into his Rishus, and the bringing into his Rishus is the Meshicha, but the Rashbam says no, that's you can't say that. What does that have to do with the Kalim of the Mocher? What does that have to do with the Kalim of the Mocher working or preventing the Kinyan from working? The fact that he's Kohen would be because of the Meshicha. So the Ramban finds a way to reconcile that explanation that the fact is if it was in the, if we were to say that the kalim of the moicher prevent the kinyan from taking place then maybe that would it would prevent it happening with Meshicha as well. In any case, the point is, the Gemara says, the bottom line is we were saying on the face of it that the merchandise is still in the kalim of the moicher, for example, in his sacks, and yet we're saying that once it's brought into the reshus of the lekeach, and then at that point, now he's being koneh with kinyan chotzer, and it wouldn't have worked until there was posak, but now there's posak as well, so therefore it works again. According to the Rashbam's explanation, it's the he's koneh by kinyan chotzer at this point, according to the explanation. That the Rashbam rejects. It's because of Meshicha. But again, the Rashbam, the Ramban finds a way to reconcile that. In any case, the point is the Keli of the Mocher doesn't prevent that from taking place. Given that we're saying then that the fact that it's in the that it's in the that that given the fact that we're saying that it's in the Mocher's Keli and it's in the Lekeach's Rishus, and still that doesn't prevent the Lekeach from acquiring it. We don't say that the Mocher has we don't say the Mocher is has still acquired it and it's still his. No, we say that at this point it belongs to the Lekeach. Well then, Kilya de Lekeach Nami Vishus Mocher. Well, then, by the same logic, we should say the other way around that the Keli of the Lekeach, if it's in the Rishus of the Mocher, wouldn't acquire. Because, in other words, we would say that the Keli is bottled to the Rishus, and therefore, that the same way as we're saying, the same way as we're saying that that it was a, that it's bottled to his the same way as we're saying that it's bottled here the keli of the moicher is bottled to the to the lekeach's rishus, and therefore the transaction works the same way you would say the other way around. So that would answer the question then. So the answer would be that no, if it's the other way around, if the lekeach has his keli and the rishus of the moicher, and he didn't specifically tell him put it down, then he wouldn't be koine. That's what Rava's proof is attempting. That's the proof that Rava is attempting to bring from this braisa. An interesting point in that connection is, well, the Gemara is going to continue with the discussion, but eventually when we say that we're going to end up saying that it doesn't work, but is it that it doesn't work because of a matter of suffix, or is it that it doesn't work because it definitely doesn't work? And a naftamina would be, what if you do both of them? What if you take it and put it in the keli of the lekeach in the rishus of the moicher, and then in the keli of the moicher in the rishus of the lekeach? So the tur actually brings from the Rama that in that case it would work, because one way or the other, you may have a suffix, but one way or the other, you've taken care of both sides of the suffix. On the other hand, the Rambam holds that not, and the Ramban understands the Rif to be saying the same thing. It's not a matter of suffix, it's a matter of vadai, that it definitely doesn't work. I mean, we're not done with the discussion yet, but in any case, the point is here where the Gemara is saying that one depends on the other, then the question is, does it one depend on the other because it's a two-sided suffix, and therefore if we do have both of them, then yeah, or do we say that not? Anyway. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Nachma Yitzchok b'shashofchan." So Rav Nachma Yitzchok says there's not really a proof from that braisa, because the braisa could be talking about where he didn't put them in a keli at all. He poured them. When we say at the top of the first word on the Amud Pirkan that he took them, that he unloaded them, would mean that he actually poured them or dumped them on the ground onto the ground. So now they're not in a keli anymore. So sure, you could say then that the keli of the moicher doesn't prevent the kinyan from taking place. That doesn't mean that it would work if it still was in the moicher's keli. So the Gemara says ikbad Rava. So Rava was upset about that. What kind of an objection is that? Midi shofchan katani. Does the braisa say shofchan that he poured them out and dumped them out on the ground? Pirkan katani. It says that he unloaded them. Unloaded them implies that he unloaded them still in the bags. So we're back to, then it would be a solid proof then. In that case, they are in the keli of the moicher, and yet we're still saying that the lekeach is able to be koine. Ela, Omar Amar Bravashi. So Amar Bravashi says, fine, it's true, it says pirkan, but you could say there's a case where there's no kelim involved anyway, because b'misachli d'tumi, because we could talk about those bundles of garlic, for example, where you don't put those in bags, you just bundle them, and you just bundle them and you take them on and off the donkey that way. So yes, the braisa could be talking about something like that, where there's no keli involved. Not necessarily can we prove from the braisa that if there is a keli of the moicher involved over here, that the kinyan should work on the grounds of kinyan chotzer. Maybe it wouldn't, because the fact is it still is in the kelim of the seller, and therefore to that extent it's still in his rishus. Okay, Tosfos also adds some details in it, that again, since we're saying over here that Pirkan Vechnisa L'Sech Besoy means that he brought them into his Rishus, and therefore we're talking about being Koine from Kinyan Chotzer, we're not talking about Kinyan Meshicha, and again, the Rashbam had brought an explanation that we're talking about Meshicha and rejected it. Tosfos also says a behema is not going to be bottled to the reshus of the lekeach. Even if we're going to say, like Rava, that we are talking about that they are in fact in a keli, we could talk about the keli being bottled, and therefore the goods will now belong to the lekeach because they're in his reshus. We wouldn't say that if they're still on the animal, which is why the Brais has to say pirkan, that he took them off the animal. Anyway, but the point is, my Rav Ashi is saying we could be talking about a bundle that doesn't require a keli at all. To begin with, it was bundled open on the animal. So not really a proof from this braisa then, because you could say that it's talking about where there's no keli. Maybe if there is a keli, then it would block the kinyan. Well, the Gemara says, by the way, you know, consider the braisa mentioned that he unloaded them. Mali posak umali posak. So why in the braisa? This is not directly related to the to the proof that Rava was trying to bring from this Braisa, but this is just to understand the Braisa itself. It's saying that once you unloaded that into his house, then it depends. Only if Pasak, only if you decided on a price, then Ein Shnein Yechol Lachzabahen, then the sale is final and irrevocable. Given that it's unloaded into his Rishus, who cares if Pasak or not? Either way, they agreed, and they're in his Chatzar. Amalei, sort of, in answers him, like we said before, Pasak Samchadaite. Once there's Pasak, then the seller and the buyer are both more definitive in their mind that the sale is going to happen because they made up a price. The seller is willing to sell at this price, and the buyer is willing to buy at this price. Loi Pasak, but if you didn't decide on a price, Loi Samchadaite, neither one has a smichus das, because what happens if the guy tries to charge me too much? What happens if the guy tries to offer me too little? So until Pasak, it's true. If it's true, the Pasak is not necessary for them to be in his rishus. They are physically in his rishus, but they're needed in order for there to be a smichus das, in order for him to have a certain definitiveness in his mind that there is going to be a kinyan over here, and then that's when we're saying the kinyan chotzer is able to take effect. Again, according to Rava, apparently it would work even if it's still in the kalim of the moicher. According to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, and then according to Ma'abra Ravashi, not necessarily. Well, the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Toshma, let's bring another proof as far as this matter of Kalim of one in the Rishus of the other. De Rav Shmuel de Amitavayo, we said earlier in the Sugya, we said Rav and Shmuel had both said, Kilya Shal Adam Kernelai B'chol Mokum, a person's Kali can acquire for him wherever it is. Now, when we say, B'chol Mokum, La Suyimai, we have to say La Suya Mai. What does those words B'chol Mokum come to include? What else would they include? Lav La Suya Rishus Moicher. Wouldn't that come to include that even if it's in the Rishus of the seller, that it would still work? Now, we did learn, when we learned the statement of Rav and Shmuel, we said that, well, they themselves said Chutz Mi Rishus Rabim, with the exception of Rishus Rabim, but they are saying B'chol Mokum. So, okay, we said that what they mean is it works even in a Sinta, even in a side street. Well, now, doesn't it mean then, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, on the face of it, it also means that they're saying that it works even in the Rishus of the seller. So that would answer our question. The Gemara says, not necessarily, Hosam de Omalei Zilkni. Because no, there you could talk about that the Moichu actually said, go and be Koina the Peiris. So then, once he told him that he can be Koina the Peiris with his Keli, then that's the equivalent of lending him a place to put down his Keli, and therefore he could be Koina on those grounds because now he has a place where he was told that he can place the Keli, and therefore that it's considered as though he temporarily rented that spot. And therefore, of course, he could be Koina. The question all along in the Sugya has been where he didn't tell him that, and the question was whether he can be Koina without that permission just by virtue of it being his Keli. Actually, first of all, the Shita Mekubetzes points out, one, given that we had in the Braisa Posak, then we have a good reason to say that once Posak, he's saying that it has to be that their statement is talking about where he says Zilkni, because how could Rav and Shmuel say so just say that a person's Keli can be Koina for him in any place, and they're not distinguishing about Modad or not or anything like that. So therefore, it must be where he told him whatever you want to be Koina with your Keli, you can be Koina. So, when the Rashbam says that he lent him the karka, Rosh points out, doesn't literally mean that he lent it to him, that would require a kinyan. It just means that he gave him permission, basically. So either way, the point is that in that case, we can say that he's Kona with his Kaili. That doesn't necessarily show where he's Kona with his Kaili, that he's Kona with his Kaili if he wasn't given such permission. So again, the way we have it in the Gemara over here, it's the Gemara has left the question open, and in the end, it's a matter of Suffolk. There's an explanation that Ramban understands the Rif to have a different girsa in the Gemara, and that Ramban follows suit, that no, the Gemara had said to begin with that it doesn't work, and then the Gemara, so fine, we tried all these various proofs, we couldn't prove one way or the other, but we're left with a statement that it doesn't work, and therefore that's it, it definitively doesn't work. Now the Gemara is going to, so we're going to continue with the dinim of kinyanim, and we're going to discuss, we're going to bring in the braisa from before about the arba midas in a different, we're going to bring in a different angle of it. Tnanhosam, we learn in a Mishnah in we learn in a Mishnah in Kiddushin, Nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayos, which have an achrayos, which means karka, because when a person the Rashbam says sheyesh lahem achrayos means because they always exist. In other places, we've talked about that sheyesh lahem achrayos also means that usually when they're sold, there is an achrayos involved. A person usually accepts on himself achrayos that he'll make good in case the karka is taken away by a bal chayv or something. Anyway, niknin b'kesef or shtar v'chazaka, such nechosim that are land can be acquired with kesef shtar or by giving money by writing a shtar or by chazaka. V'she'en le'en achrayus, nechosim that do not have achrayus, namely metautlin, ein niknin, elam meshicha, the only way to acquire those is with meshicha. And as we've learned before, meshicha can't be in Rosh Hasharabim, it has to be in a simta or in a chotzer that belongs to both of them. Now when we say that when we say that meshicha works, it obviously means hagbah would work as well. Hagbah is the strongest kind of kenyan. And because in effect that places it in his rishus, but we're saying if there's no not going to be hagbah, then meshicha works for metalin. So besura masnu lo lahoshmaita mishmeder of chista. So the following sugya, the following discussion, in surah they learned that the next statement that we're going to learn is in the name of Rav Chista. But Pupadissa masnu lo mishmeder of kahana v'ami lo mishmeder rova. In Pupadissa they learned that Rav Kahana or some said in the name of rova. Said it. So of course, what it would be is all of them said it, but each one was quoting it in the name of their Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, either way, the explanation was lo shonu ela b'dvarim she'en darkan lagbia. That would only apply lo shonu ela b'dvarim she'en darkan lagbia. That would apply only to things that are not normally lifted up. So heavy things, for example, or whatever. Al dvarim she'darkan lagbia, but things that are that it's normal to pick up. Lighter things, then Rav Chista or Rav Kahana or Rava had said, then it would only work with Hagbah, it would not work with Meshicha, because you have to use you have to use the stronger, you have to use the strongest available kinyan. So here, where you're able to lift it up, then that's what you're expected to do. You're expected to lift it up and acquire it that way. You're not going to get away with doing just a weaker form of kinyan. We talked about actually in the previous perek when we learned about when we learned about buying boats and things like that. Is it a matter of that you need the? Is it a matter of that you need the strongest kinyan, or is it that that we're saying? Well, one thing we talked about over there, which one is stronger, meshicha or mesira? But anyway, Tosfos had asked the question over there that it's not like one kinyan is mevatel the other. But yeah, we say that that's exactly it. That yeah, we're saying that one kinyan. We're saying that you do have to use the strongest kinyan that's available. And if he's not, then you're saying that he's not. So again, if he's able to do hagbah, then he's expected to do that. And then Meshicha wouldn't work. So it could be that we're talking about where he told him specifically to do one form of Kinyan. So fine. Well, Yosef Abayev Ka'omala Hoshmaita. So now, when this statement was said by Rav Chista or by whoever, then Abayev was sitting over and saying that statement that you need Hagbar, and only if Hagbar is not going, is only if Hagbar can't happen because it's too heavy, for example, then you have to do Meshicha. But Rav Adaba Masna asked on Abaya Rav Adaba Masna pointed out to Abaya, we have a contradiction to the statement on the face of it from a Braisa. A goin of kis b'Shabbos, the Braisa says, if a person steals a wallet or a money bag on Shabbos, chayev, so he's chayev to pay for, he's chayev to pay for it. I come le b'drav aminei, he's chayev misa for carrying on Shabbos. No, shekvan is chayev b'gneva, kodim shiyovah, the day iser Shabbos, because he becomes chayev in gneva, because once he picks it up already, then it's then he brought it into his rishus, then... So then he already became chayev to pay for it before he ever came to Isur Shabbos. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, how you Megarer v'yotze, but if he's dragging the money bag and pulling it out, Megarer v'yotze, and dragging it and pulling it out, Potter, then he's Potter, because Kom Limited Abimene, Shari Isser Shabbos, Vigneva, but Boyin Ke'echad, because then the Isser of Shabbos and the Isser of stealing both happen at the same time. So then, in other words, the moment that he becomes chayev and gneva, when he took it out of the owner's rishus, is the same moment when he became chayev for the melacha of hetzah on Shabbos, and therefore we say kom lebe d'rabim. Well, the question is, v'arei kista bar hagbahu. Now consider a wallet or a money bag is something that could be lifted up. And nevertheless, it seems that he's koine it with mashicha. We're saying that if he's dragging it, then he's koine it with mashicha once he brings it out of the other guy's rishus. So you see that. You don't necessarily, even though he could have done hagbah, nevertheless, he's still acquiring it with a different form of kinyan. So not like Rav Chista or etc. had said. That it works only if hagbah couldn't have been done in the first place. That Ashpan, by the way, brings the continuation of the point the Gemara makes in Ksubas. Anyway, where did he do the mashicha to? If he brought it to Rosh Hasharabim, then you can't accomplish mashicha over there. And if he didn't bring it out to Rosh Hasharabim, then he's not over on the Isser Shabbos. And so the Gemara mentions over there that you could be talking about that he put his hand within three tefachim of the ground. So first of all, the Gemara says over there it could be that he brought it to Tzidei Rosh Hasharabim, that he brought it to the side of Rosh Hasharabim, which is a place where you're able to be koyin, not really a simta per se.
The side of it
means exactly that. It means the people would walk in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim, and then the sides are also available for people to walk, but you usually had it's closer to the walls. People are less likely to walk over there. Sometimes you have pegs over there in the ground to prevent people from walking too close to the walls. So yeah, so that's part of Rosh Hasharabim. Now, of course, it's still chayev for carrying there on Shabbos, for carrying from Rosh Hashayachid to there on Shabbos, but nevertheless, a kinyan mashicha could work. Anyway, that's one answer. The other answer that the Gemara brings over there is that he put his hand within three tefachim of the ground and then brought it into his hand, and then it goes into his rishus. Tosfos actually points out that no, in that case, then that wouldn't be a matter of mashicha anyway, then it's a matter of kinyan chotzer, because then we're saying that his hand functions as a chotzer, basically. Anyway, the point is that...
And when he's picking it up, he can do a goodbye anyhow. It doesn't matter where he is.
Well, that's when he picks it up, that's what we said. If he picks it up inside the house, then already he's being koine, and then therefore later on when he carries it outside, he's already been chayev in Isur Gneva. We're saying if he's dragging it, so he's not picking it up. But we're saying again, one possibility is he dragged it into his open hand over there, and now he's not lifting it up, but his hand itself is considered his rishus. Anyway, the point is that the question was, Rav Adar Masna is saying, so you see that there you have something which you could do hagbah on, and nevertheless he's koine it with mashicha. So not like we said. So Amalei b'misna. So Abaya says, fine. There we're talking about where the money bag has a strap or a rope or whatever. So you can drag it. So Rav Amasa says, what do you mean? Yeah, I know we're talking about there's a rope, but the fact is he dragged it and he could have picked it up. Amalei. So Abaya says, what I mean is b'midi deboy misna, because in other words, the Braisa would be talking about a case where the money bag is so heavy that the only way is to lift, the only way is to pull it with a rope. It's too heavy to lift. So therefore, the fact that it has a rope on it demonstrates that it's too heavy to lift. And therefore, so that's the kind of thing where you don't need where hagbah is unnecessary, and therefore you can just do mashicha.
But if you do mashicha, if it's too heavy to pick up. So where's the mashicha again? Back in the city.
So that was what the point. He does it to city Rosh Hasharabim, or he does it into his hand. That's what we're saying. That's
but
when
his hand means it's too heavy to pick up. Then
we're not talking about he picks it up. Once he picks it up, he'd be koine no matter what. What we're talking about is
it's like 3 inches off the ground.
Yeah, his hand is within three tefachim of the ground. Just the fact that he puts it into his hand. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so you could say that's what the braisa is talking about, and therefore there's no proof from there that if something that you could do hagbah on, then instead mashicha should work, because here we're talking about where it's too heavy for hagbah. Okay, well the Gemara says Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from the braisa about the arba midas, which we've been discussing all this time. One of the cases was, we said birshus moicher. We said that if you're measuring out the payrus in the reshus of the seller, loy kona adshiak bihena ayadshi etzienem reshusay, then the lekeach is not acquiring the thing unless he does hagbah or unless he takes it out of the reshus of the seller. Now taking it out of the reshus of the seller would be mashicha. Alma midi debar hagbah iboy hagbah kani levi iboy b'mashicha kani levi. So you see that even something that could be lifted up, he has his choice whether to acquire it with hagbah or with mashicha. So what are you telling me, that when hagbah is possible, he has to do hagbah and there's no other choice? So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, no, you have to say that the Braisa is talking about a two-in-one thing. Literally, tzedodin means to the sides, but it means, you know, what the Braisa is talking about, two different scenarios, but bundling them kind of into one. Midi debar hagbah, bahagbah, midi debar meshicha, bahmeshicha. When the Braisa says, if he lifts it up, or if he does meshicha, it means it depends. If it's something that you can do hagbah, then you have to do hagbah. If it's something that you can't do hagbah, then you can do meshicha. But the point is, in other words, he's not koine in the reshus of the moicher, because the fact is, it's still in his reshus, and therefore he can't acquire yet over there. In fact, the Rashbam continues. He says, "Lafi anias daiti nidoli." It seems to me that we could say the Gemara could have answered that it's something that is capable of having meshicha done to it, and then since it's not something that's capable, something that's normally moved by meshicha. He still has the option of Agbah, because it's a stronger Kenyan, but there he would be perfectly allowed to do Meshicha, and it would work because it's something that normally is done with Meshicha. But the Rashbam says the Gemara didn't give that answer because the Gemara preferred to understand that the Braisa is telling us both dinim, that when you have something that you could do hagbah, you have to do hagbah, and when it's something that you can't, that normally done Meshicha, then you're koine with Meshicha.
There's no question about being coin something that you stole, right?
No, well, you are. A person is coin of something that he stole. That's, we learned all about it in Baba Kama, yeah. Tosfos also says that the Tosfos also asks, the Gemara could have answered that we're talking about a keli that's not normally lifted up. We just said, as far as the money bag, the fact is it's not normally lifted up because it's too heavy and it's normally dragged around.
Money bag or safe, maybe.
No, whatever you want to say. I mean, the word over there was kiss, which means a wallet or a money bag or whatever. As far as the case of stealing, we said.
Okay, but most people don't take it.
Well, whatever, fine. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is that, you know, keep in mind, dragging could also be, for example, that it's on wheels or something. That's also considered dragging in halacha. It's still not being lifted off the ground. But in any case, Tosfos wonders then that we could say that the fact is hagbah would work for them if you choose to pick them up. So then the braisa could be saying that normally you do mashicha with them, and that's fine. But if you did hagbah, that could also work. Why does the Gemara have to assume that we're talking about two different cases? But in any case, that is what Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying, that the braisa is telling us two cases in one. When it's something that you normally, that you could do hagbah, then you have to do hagbah. Otherwise, you can do mashicha. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof, again, from the braisa of the Arba Midah, or from our Mishnah, rather. Hamurcha peiros lachaveiro. We said that if a person sells peiros to somebody else, moshach v'lay modad, if he did meshicha, but he hadn't yet measured out the amount, koni, then he's koine, as the Rashbam pointed out at the top of the previous Amud, we're talking about where there was also posak, they did also decide on a price, so now meshicha works. Now the Mishnah uses the expression moshach. Well, peiros to bnei hagbah ninu. Now consider peiros are capable of being lifted up v'katani to kani v'mashicha, and still the braisa is saying that you're acquiring with mashicha. So you see, you don't need hagbah when even as long as you can do mashicha. The answer is no, because hocha ma'is going to be shlifi ravivi. No, because you could say that the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about large bundles. So in other words, the Rashbam explains like this. When we say, usually we started with the assumption that we're talking about small bundles, because the Mishnah continues after it talks about saying that if he did Meshicha and they hadn't measured yet, the Mishnah had drawn a distinction. So the Mishnah had said like this. You sell payrus to somebody else, and we said that if you did meshicha and you hadn't measured it out yet, then you're koine.
Could
So,
because of Mashiach.
because of the Mishnah, well, that's the question we said we're asking over here. That on the face of it, you need Agbah. Then the Mishnah had continued that when you're buying flax, then you need Avshi Tal to learn and we mock them the mock them. You have to transport it from one place to another,
That's
unless it was
right.
Mechobel HaKarka. Then, unless it was Mechobel HaKarka, and then you pulled some of it out of the ground, as we'll learn tomorrow why that would help as a Kenyan. The point is, in other words, given that the Braisa is distinguishing between Paris and Pishtun usually comes in large bundles. Therefore, we would assume that earlier the Mishnah is talking about small bundles. So small bundles, you could do Hagbah, and yet the Mishnah is telling you that Mashiach is enough. The reason why it would work that Ashbam says the halacha theory behind it is we learned in the previous parak, we talked about when you're buying a boat that you have to move it far enough. We said you have to, Shmuel had said you have to move it far enough that it goes out of the complete footprint of where it was. Every part of it has to be on some other part of the water than it was before. But now, when it's so therefore, by the same token, when it comes to Pishtun, being that it's long, that it's long stalks, if you move it a little bit, you haven't completely moved it out of the
Out of
place where
place.
it was. As opposed to Paris, then you would. Every Paris has moved from the place where it was because they're small. In fact, the Rashbam also adds, even Rav, who said over there that you move the boat a little bit, then you're koina, he might agree you have to move it out of its complete place because, after all, the boat is in the water, but the boat is in the there is water underneath it. But over here on the ground, maybe Rav would agree that you have to move it completely out of the footprint where it was. Anyway, the point is, on the face of it, we're talking about a small bundle of payers because, again, that would be the contrast with Pishtun, and yet we're saying that you're koina with Meshicha. The Gemara answer is Hachamaiskin. No, because you could be talking about large bundles, the of Paris. The distinction would be that with Paris, it's possible there are cases where Mashiach would work, namely where it's a large bundle, and since you can't pick it up, since normally you don't pick it up, then you could be koneh with Mashiach. It is true if you put in the effort and picked it up, then for sure you would be koneh, because Agbar is always the strongest Kenyan. But when it comes to Pishtun, when it comes to Pishtun, where at this point, the Gemara is assuming that you don't have it in large bundles for reasons that we're going to explain in a second. Then, therefore, so then you have to you taltal and mokum. You actually have to move it from one place to another, meaning that you pick it up. Taltal implies picking it up, like in Hilchos Shabbos. So now we're saying faket. We started with the assumption that the Mishnah is talking about a small bundle of Paris versus a small bundle of Pishtun, and we're saying that with Paris it works to do Mashiach because you're pulling every Paris is out of the place it
Place.
was before, as opposed to with Pishtun not, because they're long bundles. Now we're saying that no, the Mishnah first starts talking about large bundles of Paris, where therefore you have to do Mashiach. You can't do Hagbah because they're too heavy to lift. And of course, so that Ashbam also adds, we're saying you talk to me mock him. Technically, if we're talking about Hagbah, you don't really need to take it from point A to point B. It's enough to just do Hagbah and put it back down. But practically speaking, you're buying it, you're going to want to take it out of there anyway. So you're not just going to pick it up symbolically. You can actually, The Gemara says, "Yehochi ema seifa." So you're going to tell me that that the Mishnah is talking about large bundles. Well, ema seifa. Well, then the Mishnah continues. Alekeach pishtan mechaveroi. He's buying flax from somebody else. Loikona, reza loikona. Ad shi taltulanim emakam zel emakam acher. Unless he picks it up and moves it from point A to point B. So if you say, in other words, if we continue with our initial assumption that we're talking about small bundles, then you have the distinction with Paris, moving them even a little bit is fine. And with Pishtun, you have to move them in mokum because they're long stalks and you need to get them completely out of where they were before. But you're telling me now that everything in the Mishnah, in that part of the Mishnah, is talking about big bundles. Well, then, so what's the difference then? Why should it be that by Paris you actually have to do Hagbah? Why should it be by Paris? It's a Meshicha is good, and by Pishtun instead you actually need to do Hagbah. So the answer is shiny Pishtun to Mishvin. The difference is that flax is smooth and the stalks fall out easily. So therefore, so well, so so
Keep
uh,
going.
so 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 wait, yeah, I skipped the line. So the Gemara asks back, what kind of a question is that? Oto pishtun avri. So they don't make flax into big bundles as well. Actually, that's part of the question. In other words, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about a large bundle, then why would it be implying by Paris this din applies only when it's a large bundle, and therefore all you can do with it is Mashiach because it's too heavy to lift? Well, by the same token, flax could be the same thing. You could have a big bundle of flax and you can't lift it up, and instead you have to do Mashiach, and yet the Mishnah is saying that you have to Yitalteleinu, you have to pick it up and move it. So that's the question. In other words, if you're saying that the whole Mishnah is telling us Mashicha always works, then you're saying there's a difference between Peiros and Pishton. But if you're saying it's just a matter of when you can do Hagbah, then you have to do Hagbah, and when not, then not. Then why would the Mishnah distinguish between Peiros and Flax? On the face of it, both of them could come in big bundles or in small bundles. And the answer is Shiny Pishton and Mishnah. The difference is because flax stalks are smooth, they don't make big bundles of it in the first place. So therefore, it is possible to do Hagbah in it. Because otherwise, if you make too big a bundle, then the stalks will start sliding out.
What the word is something slippery?
So in the Mishnah, it means it slides out, yeah. And it falls out, yeah. So therefore,
they make two loops.
The point is they don't often make big bundles out of it. Therefore, they usually make smaller bundles.
So that's to pick it up or this
way? No, the point is, because it's smaller bundles, it's possible to pick it up. But more to the point, the reason why they do it in the first place is so that pieces don't fall out. But having done that, then therefore the Mishnah can take it as a given that a bundle of Pishton is always going to be small, and therefore that's possible to do Hagbah, and therefore the Mishnah is saying you have to do Hagbah, as opposed to a bundle of Paris might be big, might be small, and therefore... And therefore we can say that when it's big, then you can then Mashicha is good enough. That's the Rashbam's first explanation. Then he brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Hanano, because a bundle of flax could easily break apart, therefore you're not normally going to do Mashicha on it. Because if you start dragging it, then the whole bundle may fall apart. So therefore, to begin with, you're going to do Hagbah to it. So it means, in other words, the bundle of flax could be big. It doesn't have to be like the Gemara is saying you davka keep flax in small bundles. It could mean you do put them in large bundles, but then you're never going to do Mashicha on such a bundle because you don't want them to fall out.
I mean, drag is not to fall out?
No, okay, that's why you do Hagbah. That's precisely why you do Hagbah, in order to avoid that issue. So therefore, that would explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying with a bundle of Paris, if it's a large bundle, you have to do you can't do Hagbah, therefore you can be koyne with Mashicha. But when it comes to flax, regardless of the size of the bundle, the point is you're never going to do Mashicha on it. Therefore, you have to be koyne with Hagbah. The Rambam has yet a different explanation.
What about moving it completely out of its spot?
So that's the thing. So once you pick it up, it doesn't matter. Once you pick it up, it's in your Rishus. So that then doesn't matter even if you put it down in the exact same spot that Rashbam had pointed out. Practically speaking, of course, once you pick it up, you're going to carry it to wherever it needs to go. But yeah. The Rambam has yet a different explanation. Really what it is the Rambam distinguishes between, is it something, even if it's bundled up, is it something where you could easily unbundle it and pick up every individual piece? So the Rambam says, for example, if we're talking about wood or pishton or whatever, so then it's easy enough. You could unbundle it and pick it up, and therefore the Mishnah is saying you have to do that. On the other hand, for example, the Rambam says, let's say for example it was a pile of nuts or other small kinds of things like that. It would be a big tircha to take it apart and start doing hagbah individually on every one. Therefore, you can be koneh with Mashicha.
But too heavy nuts.
Okay. No, well, first of all, you can have a big bag of nuts. Again, obviously, if you do Hagbah, there's no question you koina. Hagbah koina b'chol makom, even in Rosh Hashanah. What we're saying is, if you have a big, what if you have a big bag of 100 pounds of nuts? Instead of bothering to go to the trouble of picking it up, the alternative. So, what would be the alternatives? You could pick up the whole thing, but it's too heavy, really. Fine, 100 pounds is maybe not too heavy. 500 pounds, okay. Whatever. Yeah, it's too heavy to pick up. So your next possibility would be to take it apart and start picking up the nuts in smaller bundles, but you're not going to do that. It's too much of a tircha to do that. So the next possibility is Mashicha, and therefore Mashicha works. So in fact, the Mishnah may indeed be implying that you need to do Hagbah where possible, and where not, then you need to do you can get away with Mashicha, but that doesn't prove necessarily what Rav Chista and company are saying. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another. Amalei Ravina Lo Ravashi Toshma. Another thing we learned in the Mishnayos in Kiddushin, behema gasa niknis b'mesira, a large animal like a cow or a horse or whatever, you koine it with mesira by handing over the reins, or any other part of the body.
Without moving it, just
no. So just the fact, just moving it, just handing it over is enough. He gives it over to him, and he says, here, with this you'll make the kinyan. You also have the Rashbam also adds the Rashbam also adds the point that sorry, I lost my train of thought over there. Yeah, when we learned this earlier in the previous parak, that it's also that we're talking about also if he holds on. For example, we learned about he can also hold on to its hair or any other part of its hoof or whatever. And the guy tells him lech ukni, go make a kinyan with that.
Yes, say what is
meant. Yes, to say, but here where he does mesira, then yeah, so it would be similar. He does mesira, he hands him over the reins and says that, and says, here, you take it from there. Anyway, Tosfos said, discussed over there. Do you actually have to hand it over literally from hand to hand, or does it mean, that it's enough for him to say, you go and give it, and you go and take it? Anyway, the point is that behema gasa, that works. The vadak bagba, when it comes to a small animal like a sheep or a goat, then you have to pick it up. Divrei Meir, Reb Shimon Elazar, the chum say no. Behema daka ba meshicha. For a behema daka, all you need is meshicha. You don't have to pick it up. Now, behema daka, you could lift it up, and yet the chachamim in that Mishnah are saying that you can acquire it with meshicha. And the answer is shiny behema desarcha, because the difference is with an animal, it tends to try to grab a hole. So it tries like digs its hooves into the ground or whatever. So therefore, it's normal to not try to pick it up. You could pick it up if you really put an effort into it, but it's more normal to just do mashicha and pull it to walk, which is more comfortable.
Small ones.
Even we're talking about, yeah, they don't want to be picked up. They're gonna naturally try to dig their hooves into the ground to avoid being picked up. The Rashbam brings two explanations. The word desarcha, one is it means like it grabs a hold and tries to stick itself to the ground, and the other explanation of sarcha is it scratches. So either way, the point is, in other words, it's gonna try to stay on the ground as much as possible. It doesn't want to be picked up, and therefore we can say yes, in principle, you could pick it up if you put in enough effort in, but you're not required to, and therefore you can acquire it with Meshicha. Okay. So the bottom line is, again, we haven't contradicted what Rav Chista and company said, that Rav Chista or Rav Kahana or Rava, whichever one said it, when Hagbah is available, you need to do Hagbah. So therefore, that ends up being the halacha that, yeah, where you're able, where it's something that's you're easily able to do Hagbah, then you have to do that. Where there's anything that might prevent you from doing Hagbah, whether, for example, in the case of an animal over here, that it makes it difficult, or whether, for example, that it's a large bundle or it's too much of a bother to unbundle and lift up each thing individually, then you can be koneh with Meshicha, yeah.
And I guess it'll be an animal, we have to move it out of its completely out of its.
So then we talked about before, where with an animal, we said it might be enough if it just picks up a hand, that it picks up a front leg and a hind leg, because we said then every it goes, the leg doesn't go down in the same place it was before, and therefore that might be good enough. We learned about that in the previous paragraph. Yeah. Okay. Now, the reason why we brought in this whole discussion is because we brought the Braisa of Arba Midas to ask on it, to try to bring as a proof. So now the Gemara is going to do another topic, which also we're also going to bring in the Braisa of Arba Midas to discuss it. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu. Rav and Shmuel both say the following din. If two people are doing a business deal as far as buying grain, for example, the seller says, Kur b'shloshim ani moichaloch. I am selling you a kur, which is a measure that contains 30 saw, for 30, and I'm selling that kur for 30 sela. So, So now when they're measuring it out, he could change his mind and back out of the deal, even when they're measuring out the last kur. Because since he said, I'm selling you a kur, then it means exactly that. So therefore, when would the Mashicha work? Even if you have Moshach, even if Posach, even if you have everything, even if it's in Rishus Lekeach and everything, you have to have the entire kur measured out. Because since he said specifically, I'm selling you a kur, that implies no more and no less. So therefore, so even he measured out 29 sa, but the whole kur hasn't been measured out yet, and therefore even the mashicha that took place so far wouldn't work yet. On the other hand, on the other hand, if he says, I'm selling you the kur for 30, and each individual saw in it is for a seller, rishin kana, then once he mentioned that point, means we have 30 transactions, each of one saw, and since we're talking about it, it's the lekeach's keli, and it's in a simta, or wherever he's able to be keli, or wherever he's able to be kona, even in Rishos Moicher, if the moicher told him, put your keli down over here, then he'd be able to be kona, and he'd be kona, one kinyan, one saw at a time, because then in effect he made it into 30 transactions. Tosfos brings from the Kuntres, which usually means Rashi or the Rashbam, but actually we don't have this particular detail in Rashbam. The Maharshal points out that it must be they had a different version of the Rashbam's Pirush over here. Then anyway, we're going to have actually in a couple of blot, we're going to have the Pirush of Rashbam that's printed by the side of the Gemara in the usual place, and we're going to have one that's printed in the margins, which is Pirush Rashbam HaIkri, the real Pirush of Rashbam. So apparently there were different versions of Rashbam's Pirush floating around also. Anyway, Tosfos says that now earlier we learned that when it's in the Rashus of the Lekeach, once the Moicher agrees to sell, then he's Koine. So that could be talking about when the whole measure was filled up, when the 30 saw is completely filled up, then we're saying that he's Koine the whole thing. But Tosfos says that really actually it's not so. It doesn't even need to be that it's filled up. He's Koine each saw individually as it's measured out. Anyway. So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's prove. Let's try to prove from a Braisa against what they're saying. Now the Rashbam points out the terminology. Usually the Gemara would start out with Meisvi. Usually the Gemara would start out by saying Meisvi. I have a contradiction on Rav and Shmuel from the following Braisa. But here, because we brought this Braisa so many times in this sugya, therefore the Gemara goes straight into Toshma. Anyway, so Toshma, in the Braisa of the four Midas, we learned, Im Hoysa Midas Shal Echad Mehan, we said if the measuring utensil belonged to one of them, either the buyer or the seller, Rishin Kana, then he acquires each saw as it's measured out. So it means, in other words, if the keli belongs to the moicher, then it means, in other words, the sale hasn't taken place yet because it's still in his keli. If the keli belongs to the lekeach, then each bit that's measured in his koine. Now, va'afagav delenismala amida. Now, it seems that the braisa doesn't seem to be talking about only when the keli is filled up. It sounds like he's koine even before the keli is filled up. So it doesn't matter, Rishin Kana. And it doesn't matter whether he said that I'm selling you a kur for 30 sela, or whether he says the individual saw. It's a question on Rav and Shmuel. How can they say that he's not koine when he said I'm selling you a kur, and we're saying that even though we didn't fill it up, we don't know how much there is in there yet, but all the more so in Rav and Shmuel's, where we know he already measured out 29, he ought to be koine everything, because even in that bright, we don't even know how much there is in there yet, and already he's koine because it's in his keli. So the Gemara answers, "Kunda amale hin b'shnei masa sloim lug b'selani moichalach," because the Braisa would be talking about where he says, for example, we're talking about liquid measures. I'm selling you a hin, which is 12 lug, for 12 sloim, every lug for one sela. So that's the kurba shloshim sabasela. And you're going to ask, well, if the keli is not filled up yet, then how is he supposed to know how much is in there yet? The answer is Kedomer of Kahana, Shnosis Hoyubahin, because we have an example with the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash. Now you have like this, the various korbanos, many of them need nesachim of wine and oil that go along with them. And you have for a pow, you need chatsi, for a bull, you need chatsi a hin, for a ram, a third of a hin, for a sheep, a quarter of a hin. Now, do they have separate measuring Kalim for a third and a quarter and a half? So the Gemara brings over there in Menachos that according to one opinion, no, they didn't have separate kelim, but rather shnosis tell you by hin. They had one big keli that had a hin, and then they had measurements in it, like measuring cups, to show up till here is a quarter, up till here is a third, and so forth. So hochanami shnosis tell you by midis, the same way over here. You could be talking about where the hin measure has such markings in it to show up to here is a third, a quarter, or whatever. And therefore, so each one, and since he told them, I'm selling you each lug per sella, so we can see as it's being filled up, we can see it's reaching this mark, this mark, this mark, so he knows how many lugim there are.
There were marks or there weren't marks?
There are marks, we're talking about. So there are marks, so therefore, so now when he measures out, so now he's measured out two lugim, for example, we can already see it goes up to the two line over there and so forth. As opposed to if it was a keli without that, then maybe it wouldn't work because he doesn't know how much is in there yet. Tosfos points out that actually this Shnosis Hayu Behin is actually a Mishnah over there in Menachos. Why is the Gemara quoting it over here in the name of Rav Kahana? And the answer is because from the Mishnah we would know that they do that with the Keli of Hekdesh, with the Keli that belongs to the Bais Mikdash. How do we know that regular people do that as well? Is based on something that Rav Kahana says in a Gemara in Shabbos in connection with Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore we see that it's done by regular people as well, and therefore that's what we're bringing over here. So, the point being, in other words, again, that that once we have, in that case, he knows how much is in there already. So now we can say that's called nismala samida. So therefore, so now it's like when we're measuring out a saw at a time, where we know how many sin have been measured out, and since he told them to begin with that I'm selling you one saw, and I'm selling you 30, I'm selling you the core for 30 each saw for one seller, then therefore we say each saw is considered a thing, is considered a thing of its own. So then the Rashbam goes on to say at some length over here, he says when we distinguish then in the Braisa, when we distinguish between whether it was filled up or not, the difference is that there we were talking earlier in the Braisa, in the Braisa of the Arba Midas, we were talking about the Midah, the measuring container, doesn't belong to either one of them. So therefore, so it's still, we said that it's considered the Moichers until he finishes the measuring, and then it becomes the Lekeach, but that's because they're still in the middle of the measuring. So that's why it's still considered the moichers until we fill it up, because only at that point does it transition to being in the reshus of the lekeach. As opposed to over here, we're talking about where it belongs to one of them in the first place. So then, in that case, then each individual lug that's measured out is going to be a separate transaction of his own. So that's what it is then. Interesting thing in this connection, by the way, the Pisfit Shuvah brings an interesting case where people had made up a deal as far as oxen. I'm going to sell you X number of oxen for however much money, X amount per ox. And then the question was, what can they change their mind in the middle? Now, on the face of it, that's exactly the same case over here where we say that no. But the distinction was the case was brought to one of the Rabbanim of that time. And he says that no, the difference is every ox really is worth an individual price, depending on the quality of it. Here we're talking about with grain or wine or whatever it is, every log is exactly the same. There, every individual animal is different. When he says, for example, I'm going to sell you 10 animals for $1,000, 100 a piece, he doesn't mean literally each animal is worth only 100. He means on average, it's 100 per animal. So there would be reason to say that he hasn't yet finalized the kinyan until all of them are done.
Until he's done a kinyan
on all 10 of them, and
you can't do a kinyan on one.
You can't do it. The point is, in other words, we wouldn't say that in that case, once whichever oxen he already did Mashiach on, he'd do a kinyan. No, because it is all a package deal. You're buying all of them or nothing. And the fact that he did Mashiach on some of the oxen individually doesn't help until they finish the whole thing. The Mocha would still have the ability in that case. This is the Pisrei Tshuva, brings from the Ksonis Pasim. I'm not sure who that is, but anyway, so that's what he said, that because each ox really does have an individual price, so therefore the seller could change his mind until the Mashiach is done on the last one.
Oh. Each one has
Each
something.
one. So it would have to be actually that the Mashiach was done on each one of them, and only then does the Kinyan take effect. Unlike over here, we were saying that he says Kur Basela, Kur Bashloshim, Sa Basela, every Kur is exactly like every other Kur. And therefore, we're saying, therefore each saw is considered a transaction of its own. Okay. In any case, the Gemara is going to continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue working out this din of Rav and Shmuel's, this concept that when you have it's supposed to be a package deal of a kur, then it only works when it's the entire thing. So we'll continue discussing and bringing proofs to about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Right.